The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and today we're going to be talking about what parents need to know about ADHD. More and more kids today are being diagnosed with learning disabilities and at earlier and earlier ages. Schools have difficulty meeting the needs of kids with learning differences, and some kids can affect the whole classroom when they become bored or confused. Parents face difficult choices when they hear ADHD as a diagnosis for their kids, and they don't know whether to get supplemental schooling, change schools, use questionable medications, try alternative health approaches, check environmental factors, behavioral factors, hire tutors, or try home education. My guest this week is Sherry Torkus, an award-winning pharmacist, health author, and fitness expert who's researched a number of critical health issues and made the scientific information accessible to the general public through her many books on different topics. As a mother herself, she's explored many issues of child health and will share with us what we actually need to know about ADHD and how parents can recognize it, minimize it, or prevent it in their children through methods and ways that can really work. Sherry Torkus is a pharmacist, author, certified fitness instructor, and health enthusiast all around who enjoys sharing her passion with others. Sherry graduated with honors from the Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and Science in 1992, and since that time she's been practicing holistic pharmacy in the Niagara area. Her philosophy of practice is to integrate conventional and complementary therapies to optimize health and prevent disease. Sherry has won several national pharmacy awards for providing excellence in patient care. As a leading health expert, Sherry has delivered hundreds of lectures to medical professionals and the public. She's frequently interviewed on radio and TV talk shows throughout North America and abroad. And she's authored 14 books and booklets, including the Glycemic Index Made Simple, which is very helpful as more and more people are paying attention to that, and Breaking the Age Barrier. Her book, The Canadian Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine, has become a national bestseller in Canada. And her most recent book, which I've just read, it's wonderful, co-authored with Martha Gulati, MD, is Saving Women's Hearts. She also has a very helpful website at sherrytorkus.com. That's T-O-R-K-O-S. So welcome to Family First, Sherry.
Hi, Randy. Thanks so much for having me on your program.
Oh, my pleasure. It's such an important topic of what parents can do to improve the health of their child or to assure it from the beginning. So I want to start out by asking you, how did you get interested in pharmacy? It's not the first thing little girls think of.
No, it's not actually. When I was really young, I thought I wanted to be a truck driver because my father was a truck driver, and I thought it would be really cool to drive the big rigs. And as I went through school, I changed my mind in different areas. At one point, it was accounting. At another point, I wanted to be a flight attendant because that seemed glamorous. And it really wasn't until I volunteered at my local hospital that I became interested and in tune to what pharmacy can offer. And so I was always fascinated by health and medicine and how these different substances could have, such profound effects in the body. And so I went off to pharmacy school in Philadelphia. I went to the Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and Science, as you mentioned in the intro, And I really just had an amazing educational experience there. It's a small private school, very focused and dedicated, a strong commitment to learning. And they really prepared me very well for a career in pharmacy. And I started off as a new pharmacist in 1992, practicing just traditional pharmacy in a community setting. But as I began working in pharmacy, and due to some of my own personal background and experiences, I started to integrate holistic therapies into the way I was practicing, using vitamins, herbal products, talking to patients not just about their medications, but also about supplements and how to use them. And I would talk to them about lifestyle and dietary therapies and smoking cessation and stress management. And so I really just started to evolve my practice into more of a holistic focus. And I found that to be just really rewarding, because I've always believed that there is a place for medications, certainly for serious conditions. You know, they do play a role, but I also strongly believe that the body needs to be supported with the right environment, eating the right foods, nourishing it with the right environment. So the type of practice that I am involved in is more of a holistically oriented one.
That's really neat. My father was a doctor, but he always said, trust Mother Nature first. And I've always thought that pharmacy was such a interesting area to learn about health, because there are many things that pharmacists know that your regular doctor doesn't know about how the body actually chemically interacts with different nutrients and chemicals. So I think this is a delightful subject.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think of their pharmacist really as just the drug expert. And while we are very well trained with medications, a lot of pharmacists like myself today have expertise and training and knowledge in holistic therapies, using vitamins and herbal products in their practices.
Yeah, that's really neat. I've noticed that. So this is quite cool. So what led you to focus particularly on women's and children's health, other than being a woman and having a child?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're just areas that I was always keenly interested in. I'm more so with children's health since I had my child. I have a little boy, and he's now almost two. And it was, primarily through becoming a mom that I decided, I really wanted to devote more of my time and energy towards educating parents and families about children's health issues, something that was, near and dear to my heart. And, one of my books, as you mentioned in the intro, Saving Women's Hearts, that's my most recent book. It actually came out in February last year. And I decided to work on that book with a good friend of mine that I went to university with, and Dr. Martha Galati. And she, we collaborated with this book because we really felt that there was there wasn't anything existingly on the market that offered women good, solid advice on what they can do from both the conventional and the holistic approach to improve heart health. And I find that while women today, a lot of women are focused on breast cancer and other health issues, they don't really think of heart health as their number one killer, which it really is. So we decided we would collaborate and try to raise awareness on that issue.
Yeah, the statistics in the book are quite astonishing, because that still is a popular belief that the men are the ones that are at risk for heart disease and stress-related cardiovascular problems. But it's actually even worse among women nowadays.
It is, and women don't see themselves as risk. Doctors are also less likely to investigate women when they present with cardiovascular symptoms, say symptoms of a heart attack in an emergency room. All too often we get labeled as having stress or anxiety-related issues, and sometimes the heart could be neglected by both women and their doctors. So I think it's important for women today just to be knowledgeable about the risk factors, the early warning signs, how they may present differently in women, and most importantly, what you can do to prevent heart disease, because heart disease is largely preventable with the right lifestyle intervention. So most of the book is actually devoted to understanding that and giving women advice that they can put into practice in their daily lives.
Yeah, it really fills a gap, I think, in public information. So moving on to the kids, what is ADHD? I mean, it's a label we hear so often now, but what is it from your point of view, and how does it relate to other attention or learning issues, Sherry?
Yeah, well, ADHD, which is the abbreviation for attention deficit deficit hyperactivity disorder. It's a problem where a child exhibits signs of overactivity, impulsivity, also inattentiveness. So the child is having difficulty focusing, concentrating. There's both the behavioral issues, and it's thought that there are possibly structural issues as well in the brain. In fact, that's something that's been recently recognized, that ADHD, kids that have ADHD may actually have changes in the structure of their brain. In particular, some brain scans of kids that have ADHD have shown that they have smaller basal ganglia and reduced frontal lobe activity, and basically these centers of the brain are involved in routine behaviors and planning, organizing, attention, impulse control, etc. And we also know that these kids that have ADHD may have low levels of certain neurotransmitters, which are chemical messengers in the brain, most importantly dopamine and norepinephrine. In terms of what causes ADHD, I mean, there are certain risk factors that have been pretty well established, and there are some emerging risk factors where certain scientific studies have found new correlations. For example, one of the most well-established risk factors is heredity, and there are known genes that are associated with ADHD, so having a parent with ADHD is thought to triple a child's risk of developing the disorder. Low birth weight, having a severe childhood illness such as a severe infection, meningitis, encephalitis, children that are exposed early in life to environmental toxins, preservatives, food additives, heavy metals such as lead and mercury, that's another possibility. We also know that women, when they are pregnant, if they smoke, if they take illicit drugs, if they abuse alcohol, and now most recently research has pointed to women that if they're pregnant and have diabetes, gestational diabetes, all of these factors can potentially increase their risk of having a child with ADHD. So those are some of the known and the emerging risk factors.
Wow, so a lot of them point to the mother's overall health, things that she should do anyhow for herself, but if she's not doing them, that can predispose her child to have these the different developmental brain chemistry, really.
That's right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because the latest research is really looking at the environment of the baby as it's developing, and what they've found is that, you know, if a baby, a fetus as it's developing, is exposed to, for example, exceptionally high blood glucose levels, and so if the baby is bombarded with excess blood sugar, that can affect the nervous system development of that child. And also, this is interesting as well, research has found that mothers, while they are pregnant, if they are undergoing a lot of stress and anxiety, that can also increase the likelihood of having a child with ADHD. And I can imagine parents hearing this, they're thinking, oh, I was anxious during pregnancy. I mean, I think a certain degree of anxiety is common and normal, but when you have extreme anxiety, extreme stress during pregnancy, those feelings can affect the baby.
Yeah, I think that's so important to, I mean, we've heard of moms that play quiet music for their babies, and sometimes that looks extreme, but it's better than being stressed and anxious.
Yeah, and I actually did that. I read that, you know, there was conflicting studies as to whether, you know, putting speakers on your belly with classical music really made a difference or not. But for me, it seemed to be helpful for me, and I think my baby as well. And so he listened to Bach when I was pregnant, and he listened to it when he was born. And he's just a happy, sweet, delightful little child. Not to say that that is the sole reason, but I wouldn't want parents to feel guilty if they do have a child that has ADHD. It's not necessarily what you did when you're pregnant, because there are other factors that we know could be involved, such as genetics or exposure to environmental chemicals. But also there are factors that we just don't completely know and understand right now. So it's not that there's one pinpointed cause of ADHD, unfortunately. But the good news is that there are a number of things that we can do to help children that are struggling with ADHD.
Great. Well, let's talk about some of those things that can be done. First of all, if a child already has that diagnosis, and then we can talk about more about preventing the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when it comes to recommendations, medications should really be reserved for more serious situations when when everything else has been tried without success. So usually we start with their environment, working with children in their environment. Of course, the doctors and possibly social workers are involved in this area. We look at dietary interventions, and today many children are being exposed and eating, you know, excessive amounts of processed, prepared foods that are lacking in nutrients, and the chemicals in these foods can affect most definitely their behavior, their comprehension, their ability to think clearly and perform. So when I talk to parents about what types of foods they would want to include in the diet, things such as fresh fruits and vegetables, eating foods as close as they occur in nature, so unprocessed whole foods, cultured dairy such as yogurt and kefir, which contains beneficial bacteria probiotics that help to support intestinal health and immune function, also aid in the elimination of toxins. You want to make sure they're getting adequate protein through wild fish and poultry, beans, legumes, nuts and seeds, things like that, and healthy fats, olive oil and flaxseed oil and palm fruit and coconut oil. If for cooking, those are some options there. The foods that you want to avoid are the processed, refined foods, again, because they contain just so many chemicals, additives, and things that can actually affect the child's ability to perform and think clearly. I always tell parents, if you're reading a label of a product and you can't pronounce the ingredients and it has a long list of ingredients, that's a good indication to put it back on the shelf. I mean, there's so many foods today that are just full of coloring agents, flavoring agents, MSG, artificial sweeteners, such as aspartame and saccharin and nitrates and all of these different foods. And, you know, we are just not even completely understanding the full scope of how these chemicals can affect us, but we do know that it can affect a child's behavior. So we start off with cleaning up the diet and trying to support children at both home and school. At home, you know, that involves, you know, a variety of different things, such as, you know, providing support and patience and love. And, you know, it can be tough. Children with ADHD, their behavior can be very trying to parents. They might feel that they're at their wits' end. But despite that, you need to push forward, be positive, and, you know, be as loving and nurturing and supportive, and encouraging the positive behaviors as much as possible.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Would a parent come to you to, or what can a parent do to get the kind of support when they do feel like they're at their wit's end?
Well, you know, I advise more on nutrition, supplements, and medications when they're used.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it comes to this type of support, it's best to speak with a psychologist or a psychotherapist or a counselor, somebody that can, you know, give advice and, you know, help troubleshoot and provide guidance, you know, in terms of things that can be done both at home and the school to support the child.
So a parent can kind of actually kind of put together their own private team to help them with this, for the nutrition and for psychological help and that kind of thing. We're up on a break now, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk more about what parents can do for kids with ADHD. And so stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sherry Torkus, who's an author, a certified fitness trainer, and award-winning pharmacist. And she's really been focusing her practice on helping families combine the necessary conventional therapies with complementary and alternative and natural therapies. And she's just described beautifully the kind of foods that would do best for a child who has an ADHD diagnosis. So we're talking about what parents need to know about helping a child with ADHD. And I love the way you described it as a developmental problem that has many different factors that play in. So parents don't need to feel guilty that this was their fault. There's so many different parts, but there's a lot that they can do once they know their child has a problem. And I remember actually it was at a law firm when I was practicing law back in the early 70s. That they were just then discovering all these chemicals that mimicked the natural flavors and could make it a lot cheaper to make foods that tasted like a banana or tasted like a strawberry. But those chemicals have, many of them have neurological effects, which we have no way of knowing except we see the results with kids that are getting too many of these and having toxic reactions.
That's right. Yeah. It's, unfortunately, you know, as science, you know, over the past few decades has found ways to adulterate food and change food and make food cheaper and, you know, enhanced flavorings, all of these chemicals, though, that are being introduced into our diet, they have consequences. And that's why when, you know, I'm talking to people that have a health condition, and whether it's ADHD or sleep disorder or other health problems, we look at first of all, making changes in the diet and trying to go back to nature and eat as healthy and clean as possible, because I think that that puts us in the best environment to support our bodies. And I know with kids today, and I hear a lot of parents, they're surprised when I talk to them about what breakfast foods they should be avoiding. You know, it's a lot of the Pop-Tarts and toaster waffles and things that are laden with sugar and icing and dyes and chemicals and a lot of refined sugar. Those types of foods are no way to start a child's day, because not only do the chemicals in there affect their brain and their ability to function and perform, but the quick release of sugars into the body by eating refined starchy carbohydrates, that can cause mood swings, irritability. It can make them feel foggy, not able to think clearly. So, instead of having those types of convenience-type foods, what I would suggest is foods such as oatmeal or a multigrain whole grain cereal, or you know, poached eggs and cottage cheese, or yogurt and fruit, or a smoothie, or something like that. If you're pressed for time, you know, a smoothie is a quick and easy breakfast, and you can add yogurt and protein powder and healthy fats and berries and throw it all in the blender, and you've got breakfast in less than 5 minutes. So there are things that we can do that are quick and easy, but I think it's just a matter of being aware of, you know, what your child is currently eating and how that could affect their behavior. The other big issue today is a lot of children are drinking soft drinks, excessive amounts of soft drinks, and whether they're regular or diet, these beverages provide absolutely no nutritional value, and they are loaded with chemicals, caffeine and sugar and artificial sweeteners and other things that can hamper behavior and brain function.
Yeah, I think it's so important for adults to realize that the kids can get addicted to soft drinks just the way adults get addicted to alcohol.
That's
or
right.
Cigarettes, and it can change the brain. And what you were saying, I wanted to pick up on about the fact that parents may just not realize that the breakfast foods that are highly advertised aren't the real foods that are going to nourish their child's body for the day. And you made some great suggestions there. So I think a lot of it is just awareness that parents just don't know that it can have this kind of impact.
That's right. You know, we have to look at the diet first. And, you know, to supplement and complement the diet, that's where I get into nutritional supplements. And there are some key things that I do recommend for most children, especially those that have ADHD. And that would be, first of all, a good vitamin mineral product, and it could be, you know, a chewable. You can check your local health food store or pharmacy for a good multivitamin mineral product, because there has been some evidence that a deficiency of certain vitamins can affect brain health and the nervous system, in particular the B vitamins, vitamin C, magnesium, selenium, zinc. They're all essential for brain and nervous system health, and also the production of neurotransmitters. So those are some that I would strongly recommend. Also, essential fatty acids. These are fats that are essential for proper brain development and function. And essential fatty acid deficiency is actually common, in particular in children, the omega-3s.
So where would they get that? Parents would get the
omega-3
EFAs? Yeah.
Yeah, the omega-3 fish oil supplements. There are so many different options today. You know, 10 years ago, if I said try an essential fatty acid supplement for children, most kids would turn their nose up because they tasted fishy or they smell fishy. But the ability to manufacture good quality fish oil supplements without the smell and taste of fish has dramatically improved. And they're not, you can find products that have natural flavoring ingredients as well. They're not artificial masking flavoring ingredients that are added. So one that I give my little guy is by a company called Nutri-C. It's Nutri-C. It's a liquid fish oil for kids, and I think that's pretty widely available. It's by a company called Ascenta. So I really like that. And multivitamins, there are lots of different options there. But what I would suggest when it comes to multivitamins is stay away from some of the big pharmacy brands that have Disney characters or other things promoted, because a lot of those, unfortunately, do have dyes. You know, usually if the vitamin is pink, red, purple, or blue, it's not a natural coloring agent, so you want to make sure you read that label carefully to make sure there are no additives. And there are other supplements, too. In particular, something that has recently been studied for ADHD and found to help improve behavior and sleep is a supplement called Suntheanine. And Suntheanine is a form, it's actually a patented form of the amino acid L-theanine. And there was a decent clinical trial done on this supplement in kids with ADHD. It was a 10-week study where they found that kids 8 to 12 who were supplemented with the Suntheanine, this amino acid, that it had a dramatic effect on improving their sleep. And they were having better sleep and better quality sleep. And as a secondary benefit, there were a lot of trends showing positive impact on concentration and mood and behavior. And that's something I have a lot of personal experience with as well, because I, you know, as a pharmacist, people come in, they, you know, talk to me about their drugs for ADHD that their kids are getting, Ritalin and Concerta and other drugs, and they're concerned about it and want to know natural things. So I've actually used this supplement in a lot of children and parents that are working with their kids and giving them supplemental approaches for ADHD, and found that it's very beneficial. Adults can take this as well. So adults that have ADHD, but also adults that have stress or anxiety or sleep disturbance can also consider this. It's a natural amino acid. It helps to promote calming and relaxation, improve focus, improve the ability to think clearly, and most importantly, in this study that was done recently, and this was actually a study that was done in Canada at a functional medicine institute in British Columbia, they found significant benefits in giving suntheanine to these children that had ADHD for improving their quality of sleep.
That's very exciting. Now, is that one of the essential amino acids, or is it one of the ones that the body can produce, but maybe because of the developmental issues, they just aren't producing enough?
Yeah, it's not considered an essential amino acid. Where you will find it naturally occurring in it's in some it's in tea in a small amount, but the form that's in the supplement, the suntheanine, that's not made from tea at all, but it's made through a different, completely different process. It's really difficult to get enough L-theanine through food alone, and that's why research has really looked at benefits of purifying it and you know, creating it in a supplement form.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and I just wanted to mention that you know, our grandmothers and great grandmothers used to give kids cod liver oil, and it's so funny for us finally to discover that the quality fish oils are very beneficial for development, for neurological and immune development. And here, our grandmothers knew that without any chemical studies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. I think a lot of parents were given cod liver oil. And, you know, may have turned their nose up and didn't look forward to that. But the good news is for kids today that there are good quality fish oil supplements that don't have the smell and the taste of fish, but contain the beneficial omega-3 fatty acids. So, yeah, I would say part of my baseline approach when I'm making recommendations for kids that have ADHD would be a good multivitamin, a good fish oil supplement, and then the suntheanine, the amino acid L-theanine. This is the suntheanine is it's sold by a variety of different companies. So Natural Factors has it, and other companies you'll see if you go into a health food store. Enzymatic Therapy, and I can't think of all of them offhand, but I do know Natural Factors is one of a good quality manufacturer that has the suntheanine, and they have it in chewable tablets, so it's easy to give to your child. It tastes great, and never had any problems where kids didn't want to take it.
Well, that's really neat. Yeah, that's something that, and it's harmless to try it, right?
That's right. There aren't any side effects. In fact, it's very well tolerated, and, you know, there's very few things that we can say there aren't any significant side effects, you know, especially when it comes to pharmaceuticals. One drawback of the drugs that we have to treat ADHD is that they do cause a lot of significant side effects. Some of the ones that are most concerning, I find in talking to parents, is that the Ritalin-type drugs, they can make the child feel kind of blunted in emotions. It can cause loss of appetite. Kids often lose weight. They can have upset stomach. But the big issue with these ADHD drugs is that they can cause difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep. And in the study that I mentioned that was done with these kids that had ADHD, what they found is regardless of whether the kids were taking medication, the supplement still helped them with respect to improving their sleep. So for kids both on drugs and not taking drugs for ADHD, there are benefits in taking the suntheanine for improving sleep and other issues.
Oh, that's a good point. And I do want to talk more about the importance of sleep for kids, especially when they have this extra condition of the attention deficit or the hyperactivity. So what do you tell your patients that ask how they can help about the sleep behavior of their children?
Well, sleep is, it's again something that is often taken for granted. Parents and kids too, they, sometimes want to stay up later at night to watch a certain program on TV, and they don't realize that, losing an hour or two of sleep can actually have a detrimental effect on the child's behavior and performance in school. And depending on the age of the child, they require anywhere from 9 to 12 hours of sleep at night. And unfortunately, it's estimated that a lot of children, almost 50% of children are not getting enough sleep at night. And I think there are a lot of reasons for that. I think the TV programs, the video games, all of the stimulation that kids are faced with iPods and, DVDs and all of the different types of electronic devices that they play with today. So they're constantly being bombarded with stimulation, and it makes it difficult for them to unwind down and relax and then get good quality sleep at night. So I think it's really important to, first of all, make sure you're devoting enough time for sleep, and then also doing relaxing activities with your child in the evening, such as reading a book or talking or, going for a light walk or something like that, versus doing things that could affect sleep negatively, such as, watching a program that has too much action in it that can cause hyperstimulation or other things that get the child revved up rather than in a relaxed state. You also want to be careful what types of foods the child eats before bed. If they're having, any soft drinks, there's caffeine in there. The caffeine could have a negative impact on their sleep. Also chocolate and sweets and candy and things like that, which can affect blood sugar levels, which can affect their ability as well to get in a calm and relaxed state and get enough time for sleep.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The electronics are so stimulating, and the studies have shown, I think, that they affect the brain function.
And they do.
Certainly adults know that if they watch the evening news or play an active video game right before bed, it's harder to fall asleep.
That's right. So you really want to have a nice, a relaxing routine in the evening. And I think routine is very important for kids. There might be an exceptional time where a child stays up an hour later for, whatever reason, a family function or something like that. But, in general, trying to have that bedtime ritual where, you have the bath or you read the books or you do something relaxing in the evening, and making sure their bedroom environment is calm and relaxing, dark as well, so that there's adequate production of melatonin, which is an important hormone that's released by the body in response to darkness, and it governs our sleep and wake cycles. It's very difficult if there are TVs or computer games or things in the child's bedroom that are emitting light, and also there's the whole concern about electromagnetic fields as well. So those things don't belong in the bedroom. You want to make the bedroom calm and quiet and relaxing as possible.
Yeah, that's something, too, that parents don't hear often, that all those electronics really should be somewhere else, not in the bedroom when the child goes to bed. And sometimes kids even, they sneak in so they can text during the night. And you really need to keep the electronics away so that they can get into their deep sleep. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about a little more about what you've seen when parents do get educated about getting more sleep, because it's kind of a vicious cycle they get into if they're going to school really too tired to pay attention, then they fall behind, and then they get overactive because they're just bored, and then the teachers think there's something really wrong, and it may be that they're just not getting the sleep they need. So I want to talk more about how to recognize those kinds of cycles and what happens if you can reverse them by helping the child get some sleep. So I just think this is really important. information that we're sharing here. So do you see that that parents have problems with it? Well, we'll talk about it after the break.
Sounds good.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sherry Torkus, who's a certified fitness instructor, primarily a pharmacist and author. And she's written a number of books focused truly on family health and helping parents in particular understand how to use natural means and alternative and complementary therapies as well as conventional pharmaceutical aids to help their kids get and stay healthy. And we're focusing specifically on ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and how parents can minimize the effects of that and maybe prevent them from ever developing. And just before the break, we were talking about kind of a cycle that can happen with children where they're not getting enough sleep and the parents haven't set up the environment enough and sent them to bed early enough to get enough sleep. And then when they get to school, they fall behind, which makes them more hyper anyhow because they're not paying attention anymore because they feel bad about themselves. So the body-mind connection becomes very obvious with kids in this situation, wouldn't you think, Sherry?
It definitely does, and it can be a cascade of a downward spiral. If a child's not getting adequate sleep at night, as you mentioned, then they can go to school. They're not able to think clearly, to perform well. And they fall behind. That can cause behavioral issues, and they can be acting out, and then, you know, just becomes a bit of a vicious cycle. So, you know, it's really critical that sleep be made a priority, and we, you know, talk about sleep hygiene as we did in the last segment, making sure the room is dark and quiet and comfortable and relaxing activities in the evening. And, you know, if you're finding that you're trying all these things and it's still not working, we need to look at a supplemental approach. Melatonin is sometimes used for children. There has been some evidence that it can offer benefits for improving sleep. And also specifically for kids that have ADHD and sleep issues, the studies have shown that L-theanine, the patented supplement form, the sun-theanine, can significantly improve sleep efficiency, sleep quality, without any adverse effects. So that's something that parents may want to consider. It's really, really important as well as I get back to diet as the cornerstone of a good health program that we try to encourage children to eat a pure and healthy and clean diet because kids today are just bombarded with so many chemicals from the environment, from the food, and all of these chemicals can affect their behavior, their ability to concentrate, to think. And unfortunately, sometimes it's these simple lifestyle things that if the child's not getting enough sleep and not eating properly and is acting out and having behavioral issues because of that, that could end up with, you know, an improper diagnosis of ADHD and medication be given when, in fact, it may have been something that could be resolved with just some lifestyle interventions. Not all cases of ADHD, certainly, but, you know, I can tell you my own experience working as a pharmacist alongside many doctors and parents, I have seen cases where the first-line approach, if the child is not behaving, the school complains and sends a note home, and you know, the child should be medicated. They go to the doctor, and unfortunately, they're given medication before any of the other things are tried. And yet, it's so critical that we do try to address these things naturally first if we can.
That makes so much sense. So can you give us a couple of examples maybe of where you've seen parents able to change their child's behavior before they go to Ritalin or some other more aggressive medication?
Yeah, there are many cases where I have worked with parents who were concerned about giving medication or read about the negative side effects and wanted to do something naturally. And it does take a lot more effort on the parent's part because you know, you have to look at changing the child's diet. That's not always easy. Kids are picky eaters. They like their favorite foods. They want what everybody else is eating. They want what's advertised on TV. And yet a lot of those fast food processed foods are the worst for them. But I found in particular, you know, I've worked with, I've got a friend of mine who had a boy that was 10 years old at the time that he was just falling behind in school, and he was acting out as a result of it. He wasn't performing well in school, and as a result of that, he was also not behaving well, and the doctor was going to medicate. But before they went to that avenue, she asked me for my advice and what we can do from a holistic and supplemental perspective. And so we did some simple things like changing what the child had for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, what snacks the child was eating, cut down on the soft drinks and the candy and sweets and things like that, and then worked on improving sleep quality and sleep hygiene. And the child also went to a therapist. And these simple changes were enough to make enough of a difference that the child started performing better in school, behaving better in school, and didn't end up needing medication. I have many cases where this has happened. Not all. There, you know, medications have been necessary for some kids. But again, once you have exhausted all the other avenues, you've addressed their diet, you've addressed, you know, sleep, and you've addressed their environment. And if those things aren't working, sometimes medication may be necessary.
So I'm curious, what's the reaction of the parents when they see that kind of change?
Well, they're delighted. Initially, when we sit down and we talk about some of the changes that need to be made, I sense they feel overwhelmed. They mm-hmm. feel, you know, afraid. How am I going to possibly change what my child eats, especially if the child's a picky eater? You know, they assume that the child's not going to want to go along with it. But what's interesting is that once the child starts, you know, they're eating differently, initially they may protest it, but once they start feeling better, it's almost intuitive that they start feeling better, and then they start making that association with the other changes that are going on, and then they become much more open to having, say, their fish oil supplement or their smoothie in the morning instead of their sugary children's breakfast cereal, and they start to realize how important nutrition is and how much of an impact that can have on how they feel throughout the day.
Yes, that's a sort of virtue is its own reward.
Randy?
Yes?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I lost you there.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's right. It can be very rewarding. And I think once they start to notice positive changes, both the parent and the child start to feel encouraged and start to feel positive, and that gives them incentive and momentum to keep going on with it. And, you know, I've had situations where the initial focus was to address the child's behavior in school, and we look at ruling out food allergies and chemical sensitivities, and then you know, we get back to a whole foods diet and supplements and regular exercise, which is also really important. Unfortunately, a lot of kids today aren't getting nearly enough physical activity. Again, too much computers, too much video games. But once we make these changes, the child starts doing so much better. Often it's incentive for the parents to also start doing something in their lives. And then they start noticing, wow, you know, I'm sleeping better at night. I have less stress. I'm performing better at my job. I feel better. I don't have headaches anymore or, you know, aches and pains and things like that. So, you know, I just think it's really powerful what an impact lifestyle and diet can have on a person's health.
Oh, that's quite neat. Let the little child lead the way. I always found parents are eager to help their children, but then they can learn from when they see such dramatic changes. And I started to say that when my children's friends came over and thought the sandwiches were strange, but then my kids noticed that they never got sick when their friends were getting sick, and years later. I remember one of my son's friends was stopping over and he said, "Can you make me one of those sandwiches?" They were always so good. So the kids, they pick up on the fact that they feel better.
They do. And I think it's important to start young as well. You know, if you're listening to this program and you don't have a child with ADHD, maybe you've got, you know, a 1 year or 2 year old child at home, and you're, you know, looking for some, you know, advice or guidance in terms of nutrition. It can have a huge impact on various aspects of health by just feeding a child a whole foods diet. My little guy, Phoenix, has been what I would say the picture of health. He eats an organic, primarily vegetarian diet. When he goes to daycare 2 days a week. I wanted him to have some social interaction with other children, but I send all his food, and I think at daycare they were a little surprised to see what I send for food. You know, I send, you know, chopped up tofu and avocado pieces and dry roasted edamame and goji berries and, you know, all kinds of things that a lot of them have never seen before. But when I saw some of the foods, and this is a very good daycare, but they still have hot dogs and pizza and things like that. I didn't want my child to eat that way. And, you know, I think it's interesting because one of the workers at the daycare who's involved in the food preparation, she's been inspired by seeing how healthy I am and how healthy my son is and the types of foods that we eat, that she's now starting to experiment with eating some of these types of foods as well.
Oh, that's a great story. And I think that's wonderful advice that you don't have to wait for your child to show symptoms. You can really keep them in top shape by making some of these changes, even though they're daunting at first. If you read up about it and talk to people like Sherry Torkus about how to prepare these things, like you said, dry roasted edamame, and what can you send to school with as a snack so that they don't, buy candy from their friends or whatever. Education of the parents and then of the kids can make such a difference.
Yeah, it can, and it can affect their health in so many ways, not just behavior, but, for example, immune system function. You know, there's evidence to show that people that eat a diet that's high in sugar, that can actually hamper immune system and increase their likelihood of getting sick, getting colds. And on the other hand, you know, feeding children a diet that has more slow release or low glycemic carbohydrates, lean proteins, healthy fats, that can help support the proper function of the body and the immune system and health overall.
And I understand that the sleep affects immunity as well. Is that not
it? Does so? Yes. In fact, that's one of the, you know, there's so many consequences of lack of sleep. But if kids aren't getting, or adults as well aren't getting adequate sleep at night, that can affect your immune system function. It can put you in a compromised state so that you're at greater risk of getting sick, getting a cold or a flu. I mean, there are a lot of consequences of poor sleep. And in adults, we now know that lack of sleep has been linked to heart disease, to diabetes, to certain forms of cancer. It's thought that lack of sleep can promote inflammation in the body. It causes hormonal alterations that really have far-reaching effects on our health.
Yeah, there's a very nice description in your book, Saving Women's Hearts, about the importance of sleep. And right now, so many women are working two jobs and taking care of the kids and cleaning the house. They they don't realize how important their sleep is. So set a good example for your kids. We just have a couple more minutes, so I want to make sure people know where they can get your books and how they can connect with your wisdom, Sherry. Can you share some more resources?
Yeah, absolutely. My website is sherrytorkos.com. It's sherrytorkos.com. And I have links on my website to my books. There's articles. There's all kinds of information that you can access there. I don't do consultations over the Internet. However, I do have lots of information on my website. And you can also pick up any of my books on Amazon. You just go to Amazon.com and type in my last name, Torkos. It's T-O-R-K-O-S. And you can see my books. Saving Women's Hearts is my latest book that was released, and it's received just wonderful reviews from both the public and also medical professionals as a really helpful resource for women and their families and people that are interested in taking charge of their heart health and preventing heart disease.
Yeah, I wanted to say that the things that are in that book are the same kinds of things that you're saying for the child, to have them develop mentally and physically in a healthy way. So what's good for the parent is good for the child and vice versa. So I so appreciate all the information you've shared. Is there any last thought you want to share before we close, Sherry?
Yeah, no, I'd just like to encourage parents that are listening, you know, if you have a child with ADHD or, you know, another health illness, you know, try not to feel overwhelmed and frustrated. There is resources available, information, and to really feel empowered that lifestyle can have a very positive effect on improving the health and the well-being of your child and your family overall.
Great. That's a great message. Thanks so much for being a guest on Family First, Sherry. Take
care
now.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Sherry Torkos, and her book is Saving Women's Hearts and many other wonderful books. And thank you for all the wisdom about children's health.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.